Jared the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd apparently hates the NBA draft now.
No. I just said I think the NBA draft is the least meaningful of the drafts.
I think it's the most meaningful.
No, because you've got two rounds. They trade draft choices like they're nothing. I mean, they've traded. If it was meaningful, in the last 2 days, we saw teams trade 3 years worth of first-round draft choices. 3 years. How meaningful? If you did that in the NFL, you'd be out of business.
3 years of first-round draft choices.
Yes, which means maybe you have a second round. How many second-rounders make it in the NBA?
There are a lot of second-rounders that make it in the NBA. Kyle Kuzma.
There's one.
The Lakers is a second-rounder who they expect a lot out of. I think this draft matters because the NBA draft matters because you don't know who the next Kawhi Leonard taken in the middle of the first round is. The next Giannis Antetokounmpo, the next Dirk Nowitzki. Those guys are taken in the middle to late first round. Donovan Mitchell, that's what you're looking for in this draft. Yeah, it's easy. Everyone's going to talk about Zion, and it's easy when LeBron is sitting there at number one, but you know who's going to find the next true great superstar? If you're sitting at 16 and you land them, now all of a sudden you're in the NBA Finals. That's why I think this draft is so important. But it's time for you, and it's time for Floyd. And again, we've got a line open if you want to get in for Ask the GM, 615-737-1025. Let's hit it.
The GM speaks.
A little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Pella Windows of Nashville.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM is presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. And again, the best call for the GM will get a pair of tickets to see Rain, a Beatles tribute at Ascend Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 26th. Mike is going to kick us off on Ask the GM. Mike, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Yeah, so I sorry to change the subject. I was hoping to talk about NHL.
Okay.
What do you think about Subban? Did the Preds trade him and try to recoup cap space, or are they looking to use that money and get some high production winger or goal scorer? What do you think happens there?
Yeah, that's kind of the $64,000 question, I think, around here. I think everybody's convinced if they're going to go after a top high value winger kind of guy, that they're going to have to make at least a significant move, if not more. And I think PK has probably been the talk of one of those significant moves. The question is always going to be, you're trading away a good player, and how good is the player you're bringing in going to make you? You know, does it balance out? And I'm not sure. That's always the question.
Well, it's like, you want to get rid of Craig Smith for cap space? I'm fine with that. You want to get rid of somebody like that for cap space? PK is one of the best players on the team. You can't just get rid of one of the best players on the team for cap space. There has to be a corresponding big-time move in order for you to let go of one of the better players on the team.
Yeah, you got to try to balance it out. And the idea of making all these moves,
I'm saying it feels like the fans don't act like that with
PK. is to make you better. And the problem is when you trade somebody away that's a really good player, then the guy that you're bringing in better be a really, really good player, or else you're losing ground.
Let's go to Connor, who's up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. Connor, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
What's up, guys? I had a Titans question for you both, Floyd, or just something you can both just kind of expand on. But, we've seen the Titans kind of fall under the pressure, it feels like, in the last season with expectations. Y'all were talking earlier about them being 3-13. I know, Jared, you're big on 12-4. What do you think the mindset needs to be for the team going into the season of, what to expect and what pieces do they need to fine-tune in order to get where they need to go?
Thanks, Connor.
Good question. I think their attitude has to be pretty much what it looks like it is, which is the key for them now, they are getting to a point in their maturation where they need to start looking at the things that are going to make them a good team for a while. and being able to play with some consistency is one of those things. They've got to be able to go out, beat the teams that you should beat, and then win, you know, the tough games, and periodically beat somebody better than you are. And if you can do that, you've got a chance on a yearly basis to you know, be a double-digit winning team. When you get into the point, and we've seen this for the last couple of years with the Titans, where you're up and down, where you're beating the good teams, but you're losing to the bad teams, you're not gaining any ground. You know, you go through all of the adulation because you just beat the New England Patriots, but then you're going to lose to Buffalo Bills. Well, that doesn't do you any good. And what you need to do is to be able to beat those regular teams, win a couple of the high-profile games, and then beat a team or two better than you are. And if you can do that, you're in good shape.
Let's go to Sturgill, who's up next here on Ask the GM. Sturgill, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys. My question for you today, Floyd, I was just worried, what would you say would be the minimum number of games that Pruitt would have to win this year for it to be a successful year? And I'll hang up for this. Thanks.
Sturgis, one of my favorites, huh?
He is your favorite.
Yeah, he's my favorite. You know what? I've said before, I think if he gets to seven games, that, you know, you would consider that improvement. Now, people want him to go, what they won last year, five? Mm-hmm. They want him to go from five to 10 or something. Well, that's just not going to happen. I think they had too much of a talent glitch. But can you, just by coaching and adding a few freshmen, which they will do, can you, you know, get good enough to win a couple more games? And I think that's what I would hope they would do. Now, as they move along here, and I think the thing that we saw with the former coach that was a little bit of an issue was, you know, we were what we were talking about with the Titans, up and down, up and down, up and down. You can go out and maybe you can beat Georgia, but you can't beat Vandy. You know, something crazy like that. You have to eliminate all those things. And I think Pruitt, with the way he coaches and kind of the attitude he's bringing, the way they're talking about it, they're going to be able to do that. That being, they're going to be able to beat the teams that they should beat. They're going to be able to contend with that the guys that are kind of as good as they are, and then periodically beat a good team. I mean, last year they go out and beat Auburn and then lose to Vandy. You know, how does that happen? And I think when you're with a team that is trying to kind of get your head above water, get over the hump, get to where you're really making some progress, you get faced a lot of times with those kinds of things. And it's immaturity. It's not really understanding, you know, that you have to go out and you have to play at a certain level every game. You just can't do this against the good teams or do this, you know, when you're at home, or you've got to do it on the road. You've got to do it against the really good teams, and you've got to do it against the bad teams. Bottom line, you've got to do it all the time.
I have a question for you I need to know, and that is, they got this car auction show that you love so much on NBC Sports Network, and someone just bid like $25,000 for a 1991 truck. Why would someone pay $25,000 for a truck from 1991 on a car auction show?
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't see the truck. But, you know, I would imagine it was
are like the 1954 cars that they put out there.
Do they have 1954 cars?
This is the show you like.
Yeah, no, they got cars from 1954.
Yeah, those go for like $1 million.
Oh, they go for a lot, but it's not. See, it's not just the age of the car. I mean, it's the car. I mean, you'll see a car, and I don't know what's coming on this show, but, you know, you'll see like a Shelby GT500 Mustang. I mean, it may go for $300,000, and it's only, you know, it may be 10, 15 years old. But, I mean, people want it because it's really fast, supercar, Shelby, GT, you know, all of that, so.
Whatever. You love your car show. I will give you that.
Yes, sir.
More calls for the GM. More Ask the GM presented by Pella Windows in Nashville. 615-737-1025. Again, that phone number is 615-737-1025. And the best call for the GM will win a pair of tickets to see Rain, a Beatles tribute at Ascend Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 26th, 615-737-1025. We're live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. and Mount Juliet. Let me tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I've been using them on my home since I moved into my new home in October, and I have not had one single issue. That's the great part about Hiller, is once they come in, they get the job done, they take care of business. And they do it at the perfect price, thanks to True Transparency Pricing. They tell me exactly why they're charging what they're charging, so I don't go away wondering, are these guys trying to stiff me? Not at all. Not with Hiller. They also have free second opinions. So if the other guys have come out to your house and given you a quote, let Hiller come on out. They will give you a second opinion for free. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They're proud supporters of the Nashville Predators. In fact, they've not only taken great care of my house, they've also taken great care of my parents' home. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Give them a try today. Call the Happy Face Truck today. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ask the GM is presented by Pella Windows of Nashville. Jared and the GM, again, we got a line open if you want to get in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And the best call for the GM will receive a pair of tickets to see Rain, a Beatles tribute at Ascend Amphitheater. That is on Wednesday, June 26th. Floyd, are you distracted by the car auction show, or you go right back to the people?
No, let's go for it.
To the people. JT is up next here on Ask the GM, presented by Pella Windows in Nashville. JT, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just had a question a little bit, you know, tonight being the NBA draft and all. Floyd, you're a GM, and something I've always wondered is what you're looking for in guys when it comes to, you know, you have the pre-draft workouts and you have training camps, so you get to see these young guys and see what they did in college, whether it's through football or baseball or basketball or however, you know. What are you looking for on a night like tonight when you're taking your number one draft pick or your number 25 draft pick, whether first or second round or however? I'll listen in.
Thanks.
You know, it's an interesting question because what happens, and I think you see this in this draft, I mean, they're generally speaking are going to be, you know, three or four or five or six guys that really are franchise kind of guys. That is, and they may play all different positions, but you're talking about guys that are going to come in and affect, you know, your win-loss record dramatically right off the bat. And then after that, it kind of simmers down, and you get guys that will come in, and they'll be starters, and they'll help you, and, you know, they'll be good players, but they're not going to be Hall of Fame kind of guys. And then you get to the latter part of the round or the draft or whatever it may be, and you're talking about guys that are kind of not really long shots, but you're probably going to draft them because of long shots. That is, they're going to be guys that are in the NBA draft, for example, because they're really, really tall. Or somebody that is really, really a good three-point shooter that may not be very big. Or somebody that is, but they're really good at something, but not necessarily that all-around kind of figure. And I think what happens in most of these drafts is people are kind of looking for the same kind of guy. They will talk that way. Now, when it comes to actually drafting, a lot of guys can't stick to it. And I think that's the difference. When you get the locker room, like, for example, with the Titans, the locker room is in great shape. You know, they're good guys. They all kind of like each other. Everything's going well. Well, you've done a good job of putting that together. You have to pay attention to that, which means you have to pay attention to the kind of guys that you draft. If you go out and draft a selfish, you know, me first, I'm only worried about my stats and I don't really care how many games we're going to win kind of a guy, it can really pollute your locker room. And I think we're seeing some of that, like maybe at Jacksonville, you know, where they're going through some of this with their guys. And I think ultimately all of that will affect, you know, how many wins you're going to have and how many guys you're going to be able to re-sign or want to re-sign. You know, there may not be a lot of guys that you'll even care about. But I think I think when you go through, you're looking for guys that are talented, without a doubt. You're looking for guys that care about winning, that care about championships, and you're looking for guys that are going to be good in the locker room, guys that you can get along with. And if you can't get all those things, especially in a high pick, then you need to go someplace else. Now, as you move down the draft and you move down the round, then you know you let some of those guys, some of those things go. Like, you know, ideally you're saying to yourself, okay, I would like my point guard to be 6'7". I'm mm-hmm. just throwing out a number. Well, when you get down to the middle part of the round, you're saying to yourself, okay, you know, I'm not going to be able to get a 6'7 point guard down here, but I can get a good point guard that's 6'4". Well, okay, fine. I understand that. And then you get down to the latter part of the draft and you're saying, okay, this kid is really, really a good point guard, but he's 6'2". And you say to yourself, fine, I understand where I am, and that's the guy I want, and go for it.
I tell you who I would take. Carson Edwards from Purdue. Kid lit up Virginia, lit up Tennessee, and this Steph Curry shoot-it-from-anywhere league. I'm taking anywhere outside of the top 10, I'm taking Carson Edwards. I think he's going to be such a stud. So how about this? The Pelicans have traded the 4th overall pick, which they got from the Lakers in the Anthony Davis trade, and have traded it for number 8 and 17 from Atlanta. So that means that now the Pelicans have 4 first-round draft picks in exchange for Anthony Davis. That's not right. 5 first-round draft picks in exchange for Anthony Davis, a swap of 2023 first-rounders, and a high second-round pick.
Jeez. There's a team for you if you get that draft right.
Oh, see, but the problem is that when you get to 17, is there going to be a guy out there that you can pick at 17?
Yeah.
That's going to be
– And I'm not sure. Now, this is just me, but I'm not sure this draft is the deepest draft that, you know, they've had. I mean, the guys at the top are pretty good, but it seems to me that kind of thins out fairly quickly.
You a Zion fan?
I mean, I think he's going to be a great player. I love his physicality.
But how many guys, like, you know, who are the best guys? Durant, Curry, Thompson, Kawhi, LeBron. Zion don't play like those guys.
Well, I mean, he's a LeBron-looking guy physically.
Is he, though?
Yeah.
LeBron's leaner than him.
Well, I mean, LeBron's 35 years old.
LeBron plays point guard.
This guy's 20 or whatever he is, 18. I don't know what he is. I mean, this guy will lean out, too. When you get in the lead, the especially in the NBA.
Like Draymond Green did.
And I remember this from when I was at UCLA because we had so many great players. But guys would leave UCLA and they would be buffed, studs, good-looking guys. They'd come back after a year of the NBA, they'd all be skinny, lose weight, just going, going, going.
Okay, so the Predators have made an announcement with the city that they were going to extend their lease agreement by 30 years. Today, it passed with a full unanimous vote. Remember, we live in a society where nobody can agree on anything. It passed with a full unanimous vote by the Sports Authority, which means it is official. The Predators are here for the next 30 years. We will talk to their team president and CEO, Sean Henry, coming up next, as well as kind of give our thoughts on that. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. So the Metro Sports Authority unanimously passed the Predators and the city's agreement to extend the lease agreement on Bridgestone Arena by 30 years. Now, this is my question. Sean Henry, the team president and CEO, is going to join us in just a little bit. But here's my question to you, Floyd, on this deal. I think it's an incredible deal for the city to not have to buy a professional sports team another stadium here in the near future. Anytime you get out of having to buy somebody, a brand new stadium, you win one way or another. But here's my real question. What is the incentive for the Predators to keep that building and to not push the city to buy them something new that they could probably make even more money from? Like, what do the other cities lack that build an arena 20 years later? The city's like, the team's like, oh, we got to get a new one. And you're like, wait a minute, this is a 20-year-old building. It's not like it's a, you know, a 55-year-old building. Like, Oracle Arena was built in the 60s. You want to move on from Oracle, I get that. But this is a, we're talking about a 20-year-old building or a 30-year-old building. People are ready to move out. Why do a lot of cities and teams not, like, what is it about this building, this team, this agreement with the city that's different for all the other pro sports teams that don't feel that way?
I don't. I mean, I would imagine everybody feels that way to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the bottom line is, I think it depends on where you are, your relationship with the city. What is the realistic chance of you getting something done? Or, you know, can you redo where you are and it works out? Now, the Preds have done such a fantastic job of taking care of Bridgestone. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not by themselves, but they have done a fantastic job with that place. That place is remarkable for the amount of wear and tear that it gets, the way that it looks, and the way and the upkeep they've given it. So, you know, to them, they probably could say, hey, you know what, we really don't need a new place for another, I don't know what, 10 years or whatever the length is. And then at some point in time, they'll be, I'm sure, negotiating that, talking about that.
Mayor Briley on Twitter said, it's a great day for the Nashville taxpayers, the Preds, and the fans. I was proud to address the Metro Sports Authority today as they unanimously approved a 30-year lease to keep the team in Nashville while relieving taxpayers of any financial obligation related to the arena. We just don't live in a sports world where teams make agreements with cities to take the money from the tax, to take the burden away from the taxpayers. If anything, teams usually put it on the taxpayers more.
Yeah, especially if they want a new place.
So I think it's incredible, and I think it's great. And I'm just trying to figure out why everybody else isn't doing it. And Sean Henry, Predators president and CEO, joins us now on the show. Sean, first off, congratulations. But you got to help me understand this. We see teams around the country all the time take from their cities. In this case, you're not demanding a new building. You're staying in your building for the next 30 years and relieving the taxpayers of the duties with that building. Why does nobody else do this, and why did you guys feel this was right for the Predators?
Well, before I answer the question, really, I just want to say thank you to our fans, to the Sports Authority, the mayor's office. A lot of people worked really hard on this for a long time, and it is exciting to be sitting where we are right now. But to answer your question, why? You know, why are we doing this? Why is the mayor doing this? Why doesn't it happen with other teams, whether in our city or somewhere else? I don't know. I really don't. You know, Floyd's done this whole life, as I have, and far too often, teams end up leaving cities, or you end up spending $500, $600, $700, $800 million on a new facility, when really all you got to do is take care of the facility you're in, and it can last forever and be state of the art. You know, you look around our leagues. You just mentioned Oracle Arena, and literally you said, "Oh my gosh, it was built in the '60s. Of course, they had to tear it down." Madison Square Garden was built in the '60s, and it's the most modern arena in the country. Lambeau Field was built in the '30s. Soldier Field wasn't even built for football; it was built in 1919. Fenway, Wrigley, built over 100 years ago. What do they all have in common?
They've all been renovated.
They're some of the most modern facilities in their respective sports, which is insane. And some of those facilities were pretty neglected for a long time. I mean, literally, Wrigley Field was falling down. They realized, wait a minute, this is where we want to be. Let's invest in it. It'll be cheaper to invest in this facility and make it state-of-the-art than it will be to build a new building. And by the way, when you build that new building, it normally has to go into a new area. So Wrigleyville wouldn't be Wrigleyville. Could you imagine the Nashville Predators playing anywhere in Nashville besides 501 Broadway? No. We built this entertainment district with our activity, And you, when you look at what Broadway's bookended by with Nissan Stadium and us and everything in between, where else would we want to be? Where else would the Titans want to be? It takes a little vision. It takes a little commitment. It takes a little confidence, or maybe arrogance or stupidity, to say in 20 years, Bridgestone Arena can still be one of the most modern buildings in the entire industry. And that's what we're structured for. And the more successful we are, the more dollars we can generate within the building, the more we generate within the building, the more we can put into the building, and the wheel just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But when you look back on some of your best memories in sports, they're generational. You're talking about going to games with your grandfather or grandmother or your mom or your dad. You met your wife there. That's what should happen here. In 25 years, Jared Stillman Jr. should be talking about where his mom and dad met and the first time Jared brought him to a Preds game or a concert or whatever it may be. And that's what's special.
So what's funny about that is I don't disagree with anything you just said. It just, I keep like wondering, like, what's the catch here? Because to me, this deal is good for the city. It's good for the Predators. I mean, it's going to cost the Predators more money to do the deal, but it's still good in general to keep your spot at the top of the huge entertainment district. It's great for the taxpayers. And I'm sitting there looking at this saying, what is the catch here? Because a lot of stadium deals are so complicated, Sean.
Well, they shouldn't be. It's a pretty simple industry. I think over the past probably 35 years as an industry, we've made it complicated. A lot of teams just push the chips across to the city and say, hey, it's your problem. What are you going to do now? I mean, you look at Charlotte, Orlando, and Miami. When their buildings each turned 20 years old, one at 18 years of age, they imploded them and built a brand-new building about a mile from the old place. And that's insane when you think about it. You know, how do you spend at the time when we were all about the same age, $100, $200 million, and 18 years later implode it and build a brand new one for $400 million? By today's standards, the arenas are costing $700, $800, $900 million. You don't need to do it. You just need to take care of it. I mean, your house is going to outlast your mortgage. You know, people buy homes that are 80 years old, 90 years old. You invest in them, and you pick up all the old character that was in the home. And there's no reason we can't do the same thing. But for the most part, people think buildings can last only 30 years because the bonds that help pay for the buildings are normally 30 years old. So you figure, okay, at the 31st year, you need a new building. And normally the last 10 years of a building are the weakest 10 years from a production standpoint. And again, there's just no reason for that. But when you look at a lot of the relocations that have occurred, you know, in our league and other leagues, it normally is a result of the team in the city not looking at the greater picture and working together for something a little bit bigger. And I hate the term win-win. When people tell me, oh, it's a win-win situation, I laugh because it's rarely a win-win situation. Normally the winner calls it a win-win situation, and the loser is scared to contradict them. But in this case, this really is a win-win. You know, we both knew what we wanted, and let's figure a way to get there. And it's been fun in this whole process. And now we're sitting here right now, and we're going to be here for the next 30 years. And like the mayor said today, and you just said, this is a win for the taxpayers. It alleviates money from the city budget today and ongoing, and we're not going to be coming back to the city saying, we need a new building, you know, so let's go out and spend $800 million on it. It's just the opposite. So it's good. And the more visitors we pull in from out of the county, the better it is for Davidson County, because the economic impact that we throw off is coming off of people that don't live right here, and that's a nice thing.
John, first of all, congratulations to you and to the Preds and to the city. And I would agree with Jared. I mean, the relationship you have with the city is truly unique. And I mean, I know you're a big part of it. You wouldn't say this, but you're a big part of it. But what is it in your mind that makes that relationship so unique? Because it's not just a matter of, you know, you belly up to a mayor and you get to be a good friend. I mean, that mayor's not going to be there the whole time. You know? I mean,
well, I don't think the law will allow him to be. No, I don't think I'll be here the whole time right. Either. I hope to retire here, but I don't think it'll be 30 years from now. You know, it's funny you say it just like that because you're right. We, and every sports team really in the city, have enjoyed really nice relationships with every mayor since we've been here. And you look, going back, you know, from Mayor Bredesen right on through to Mayor Briley today and everyone in between, with a real highlight with Mayor Dean, of course, they've always seen civic furniture, if you will, as a way to drive development and improve areas and bring hospitality and residential development. And Mayor Bredesen, you know, had the ultimate vision, you know, for both teams, and it worked. and, you know, everyone else saw it. But when you look at, you know, Mayor Dean, when he put the baseball stadium where he did, and Ford Ice Center in Antioch where he did, and now where soccer is going, it's placing the civic furniture, as Mayor Bredesen used to call it, around town to bring development following it. And the more success I think we all have with that, it gets easier for the next administration to realize the value and then get on board to figure out how do we build upon that as well. So it's been a nice 25 years of success, I think, for each mayor and everyone that follows. So that made it a little bit easier. And then you add into the climate that we're fortunate to have an ownership group who all live here, who love being here, either built their businesses here or thrived here. And that's why they bought the team. You know, day one season ticket holders. So they wanted to make sure that they can continue to do great things with the city that they love. So it really was an easy thing to bring about.
We, Jared and the GM, are going to be out at the draft party tomorrow afternoon in Cool Springs. And I think everybody kind of senses excitement around this draft and the start of kind of getting things going. What do you, how are you looking at all this?
Well, you just said it well. As you know, the draft is always the, you know, point to start the season, if you will, for next year. And you're always optimistic. And this is the first time we've had a number one pick in the past few seasons because we've all been so aggressive at the trade deadline. So it'll be nice to be picking in the, you know, 24th spot where we sit currently. And there are a lot of good players in this draft. This is probably the deepest draft that anyone can remember in the past, you know, 8, 9, 10 years. So it's going to be exciting to be part of it. Look forward to seeing you guys down in Cool Springs at, Brew House South.
Yes.
And what's fun about the draft is you start planning for the season. You know, everyone does. You know, Stanley Cup's over, the awards are over, the meetings are over. You draft your player, you bring our prospects in, we get to celebrate them and see who they are next week. Obviously, we open up at Ford Ice Center on next Saturday with a huge event out in the park, in the parking lot, streaming the game outside because we can't fit everyone inside the building. And so it's kind of hope springs eternal whenever you have a draft and the new young guys come on in.
I'm just excited for all the action that may go down tomorrow. Sean Henry, Predators president, CEO, is with us. Going back to the building, I wonder, too, is it important for fans to know, like when I read it in the press release from the team about the idea that there are going to be in-arena revenue ways to, I guess, fund future projects, that the current fans of the team that go to games, that go to concerts, are essentially funding the future of that building. How important is that for the fans to know that they're a part of it, that their money is not just going into the pockets of the owners of the team, but really going into putting a better product for them to go back to the arena for?
Well, it's everything. You know, as we always say, when it goes back to ownership, everything always goes back to ownership. And when they're dedicated, anything can happen. And a long time ago, back when this group got put together, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago, the goal was, you know, to continue to take every dollar we generate and put it back into the team and the building and the services and the relationship with our fans. And the end result is you can start planning down the road 10, 15, 20 years from a roster makeup standpoint. And from a business standpoint, now 30 years down the road. So it allows you to be busier, and that wheel just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more impactful. And it just, I'm sitting here smiling as I'm talking to you guys because there was no reason for us to go to the city and do this deal now. There was no reason for the city to come to us and do the deal now, except it made perfect sense to say, look how good things are. How do we continue to make the last 10 years of this building's quote-unquote lease better? And once we started having that conversation, it was, all right, how do we strike a brand new lease to take care of some of the things that we should do for the city and then for the health of this franchise? And all of a sudden, you're looking 30 years down the road, and I think it's the best thing I've ever been a part of. And I'm excited about what it means for us today and the next 3, 4, 5 years, and I'm even more excited about what it means for this franchise 10, 15, 20 years down the road when my grandkids are coming here on their first experience or first date or their honeymoon, whatever it may be.
Well, then I guess my final thing for you as far as the building's concerned, Sean, is what is next for the building? Now that you know for a fact you guys are going to be in there for 30 years, I know there's always plans on a yearly basis, but for 30 years, there's going to have to be a larger big plan than say, just one little two things, and we know how you guys operate. What is kind of the big discussion now that you know you're going to be there for the long haul?
Well, we started this conversation probably 3 or 4 years ago. Remember, we did a visioning study. And then we literally brought an engineering firm in here, and we did it. The Titans did it as well, to look at the venue and say, okay, what has to happen just to keep the building the way it is currently, you know, in that modern state for the next 20 or so years. So you identified life services, vertical integration, HVAC, lighting, that sort of thing. And then you overlay that on, okay, what do you want to do for the next, you know, years 3 through 12, if you will, a little bit larger scale. We've always been very public about what it was. We started our AV renovation last year and continuing that this summer. We've made not many secrets about the fact that if this deal gets done now, we'll have an opportunity to replace the scoreboard this summer. And we have a concert tonight, and I think we start the work tomorrow to start demoing the old scoreboard and bring a new one in. That'll be a really cool way to experience the game live. That'll be unique to Smashville. And we talked about next summer. If we're fortunate enough to move forward, ideally next summer or the year after, we'll build a press box, which sounds funny to say, but we don't have one. And, you know, by doing that, it'll allow us to add about 1,100 seats to the building. We'll unencumber about 500 where the press box sits right now. And the way we're erecting the press box, we'll add another 400, 500, 600 seats above the existing seating bowl, which, again, will allow us to do a few things. We're one of the smallest buildings in the league, and with this crazy fan base we have, we need to be a little bit bigger. But it'll also allow us to provide another pricing opportunity to make sure that newer fans have an opportunity to get in at a more affordable price. And that's really, really important to us. But, you know, those are probably the two next biggest things that we're doing. But over the next 30 years, you're going to see us rebuild this building probably twice in that time frame. And that's what you need to do. And when I talk about Madison Square Garden, you know, when they were 30 years old, they did a major renovation in 88. And they just did a five-year renovation, which completely overhauled the building. Again, Soldier Field, whether you like the renovations or not, some people say it looks like a UFO crashed into that hallowed facade. But it's a brand-new building. So is Lambeau Field. And you look at, again, I think Fenway and Wrigley can give you more lessons than any other building transformation, because for 50 or 60 years, they were pretty neglected. And it literally was falling down. Now you go to Wrigley, and it is the coolest building in the major leagues, I believe. And I'm a Yankee fan, so that's hard for me to say, but I sure wish Yankee Stadium would have rebuilt their old building one more time before building kind of the new, what looks like a museum.
Up next for Sean Henry, rebuilding Greer Stadium. I feel like that is the next step along the way. I'm just kidding. Sean, congratulations. And also, glad to know the Predators will be here for the next 30 years and not, you know, trying to become a two-city sports team as maybe the future for some sports
leagues. That is a great example of a team and a city and a region almost blaming each other for not solving each other's problems instead of addressing them head-on together. And, again, there are too many bad examples of fans losing because of people blaming the other side. So it's nice to know that we don't have to. And I'll see you guys tomorrow night where you can buy me a beer and we can toast each other.
Sounds good.
Sean, we'll see you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sean.
Yep, Sean Henry, Predators president and CEO. And again, I'm still looking at this and trying to figure out, like, what's the catch here? Because you read the facts of this agreement with the city, and it just seems like a win for the city and the taxpayers. The taxpayers don't have to pay any more money for that building. That's a big deal. That right there is a big deal. And you know, obviously I've gotten to know Tom Sigrin very well over the years, gotten to know Sean very well over the years. Boy, those guys, they are about Nashville. And at the end of the day, and you see Amy Adams Strunk doing things that are very pro-Nashville as well. But when you got people that care about the city as much as they care about making money for their team, that, I think, goes a long way. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, the NBA draft is tonight, right here starting at 6. Got a bunch of draft thoughts. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Here the GM. Come on, Calvin. You did so well for a whole day, and you can't. Oh, Floyd. So Calvin is filling in for Ian. Ian and Nicole are expecting their first child. Should be any second
today.
Now.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll be stunned if Ian and Nicole haven't had the child already. They just haven't told us about
holding
it.
Out.
So we're hoping that Ian and Nicole are doing well, and the future baby is doing well. But Calvin, filling in for Ian, did a great job today. until the last segment. He was supposed to come back on a Stephen A. Smith clip, and I just hear the music going, and I'm like, Calvin, you had a great day. You had it, and you blew the save in the bottom of the ninth.
Just these little mental lapses, they get you all the time, and it got me.
Calvin. Oh, he was so close, Floyd, to pitching a perfect game.
He'll get it right tomorrow.
We'll see. We'll see. That's the standard we will hold to him, too. NBA draft tonight, Stephen A. Smith was asked about Zion Williamson. Is he the best prospect since? What we got, Stephen A.?
Is Zion the best prospect since the king, LeBron James?
I think so. Zion Williamson is a freak of nature. What you're looking at is a man-child, the likes of which you may not have seen since LeBron James. He's 6'6", 6'7". He's 280 pounds. His athleticism is off the charts. He's got a 45-inch vertical leap. He's box office. You walk through the turnstiles specifically to see that man. That has not existed since LeBron.
So I hear what Stephen A. is saying about the star power of Zion, right?
Right.
I don't care about that. I care about, you know, is Zion ever going to be as good as Kawhi? Is he ever going to be as good as the Greek Freak? Is he ever going to be as good as LeBron? Is he ever going to be as good as KD? Because with the hype surrounding Zion, you almost would think like, hey, he's got to be as good as those guys and take over the league. And I just don't see it. I think he's too thick. You know, if you're going to be that thick, you got to be 6'11". He's not. If you're going to be, if he leans up, which he probably will a little bit, like, is Zion going to be able to bring the ball up the floor like LeBron does now, or shoot the three like KD, or be able to out-jump everybody at everything like the Greek Freak, or be able to guard everybody like Kawhi? And I just don't see Zion being able to do that. I think Zion's going to be a good player. I just don't buy the Zion hype like we've been fed for a year now, or however long it's been that we've been getting the Zion Kool-Aid pushed down our throats.
Yeah, well, I think Stephen A. Oddly was right from the standpoint that you look at this guy's physical skills, you look at his numbers, you look at all that stuff, and it's impressive. I mean, he's a big, athletic guy, and that I think drives a certain number of people. You know, I think there'll be a lot of things he'll be able to do in the league. There will also be a lot of things that he hasn't been able to do that he will, if he's going to be an all-star, have to improve on. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see all of that. So, you know, right now, I mean, the thing that thrills me about him is his skill set, his athleticism, you know, big guy and thick and strong and can jump out of the building and can do all of those kinds of things.
Draft coverage starting at 6 right here on ESPN 102.5. The game will have the draft right here on ESPN 102.5, the game as well. You got a beef with Darius Garland if he goes at 5. Now, it looks like Atlanta's going to take a guy out of Virginia at 4. So he could go 5 or below, and you don't like the idea of Darius Garland going that high in the draft?
Well, no, yeah. I mean, I have to question it. I mean, the guy's played 5 games.
But he was a bowler for those 5
and
games.
And he's a hometown guy. You know, I mean, you hate to question it. And I hope he's that good. I just have never really seen him, simply because he's never really played.
Well, Vandy was not terrible when he was on the team, and then when he left the team, they became terrible.
Oh,
so that may have something to do with it. I don't know one way. The thing about this draft is you never know if it's Dirk Nowitzki or if it's, you know, Dragan Bender. You never know, right? Like, even though you can act like you know, you never know. You know, like Jay Billis never stands up when Donovan Mitchell goes 15th and says this guy's going to be a superstar in 2 years. It just doesn't happen. So that's my thing about this draft. The other thing, the 3 Vols players, Bone, Schofield, Williams, do we think any of them go in the first round? And do we think any of them should go in the first round? To me, only Williams would make sense. And I still don't think his game is diverse enough to think he's going to be a difference maker.
I think I saw him like at 27 or 24 or something like that, mm-hmm. which was the best of those 3 that I've seen. Now, I don't know where the other guys are going to go, but that's the best Vol that I saw on the drafts And I've only seen a couple of them.
I just can't see Schofield being – he's too small, too inconsistent. Schofield doesn't play big enough. Bone – I think Bone is a backup point guard in the NBA, which is good, but I think that's a late second round for Bone. And maybe he'll be better off not getting drafted and then kind of being able to choose where he ends up going.
Yeah.
As far as what's next for him. But a lot to watch tonight for the NBA draft, a lot to listen to. Of course, the NBA draft coverage starts right now as soon as we're off the air. So don't go anywhere as the NBA draft follows. And be sure to tune into Morning Drive tomorrow morning at 6 as they will have their reaction on where all of these guys go. So that will do it for us. And again, the NBA draft is next right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.